Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Mysteries by Brian Thawawara. Read by the author, with music by Luke Poole.
Mysteries. In a certain obscure book on origami, a revered master of the craft confided his secret suspicion the whole cosmos was a single sheet of celestial paper, perfectly folded and excellent. All inquiries into whether Ole, who so famously invented Legos, ever believed the same of his bricks, marvelous as they were, modest as he was, remains unsurprisingly inconclusive. Einstein believed God did not play dice with our universe, but he would never say if the divine was above a round of 52 pickup or a birthday magician's parlor tricks. Lastly, I, on a small patio in Minneapolis, absurdly knocking over my tiny bottle of ink, of course curse at galaxies lost, while several verseless pages nearby soak up indescribable nights I'll never show you now.
The Runner by Dane Luscombe. Read by the author, with music by Field Collapse.
They were all running now. Her heart pounded. She couldn't remember who she was or where she was running. There was only fear. The air was thick with panic. One of the other runners tripped on a rock, careening into her. She almost fell but recovered. The man's sweat brushed onto her clothing, and the scent of fear filled her senses. His eyes shone white above a tattered face mask. Her hands drew up to protect the small bundle at her chest. As her arms surrounded the precious cargo, she tried to concentrate and remember what she held, why it was so important. She could only focus on the path. Everything else was a cold, blue fog of terror. She was one of the first to leave the cover of the low mesas. For weeks, they had been moving slowly through the desert ravines, protected on each side. But a drone must have spotted them, notifying their pursuers. The band of 20 runners had pooled their resources and spent a small fortune on masking technology designed to camouflage their heat signatures. But either they had been conned, or the hunters had improved their scanning technology. Both options were equally likely. Screams and mechanical noise broke through the air, but she couldn't let herself look back. Months of hard travel had ruined her body and sapped her spirit, and now capture was inevitable. Her inner voice kept screaming, "Run." As she left the mesas, the landscape changed dramatically. A wall of trees rose before her, stretching to the sky. The trees were genetically modified to scrub massive amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and had just begun the long process of correcting the planet's extreme climate changes. They looked like normal pines, but were taller than any of the buildings in her hometown. A married couple ran past her and broke for the cover of the woods. After a month of traveling together, they didn't even register her presence. The trees loomed as she neared. The darkness was complete compared to the sun-bleached world she was leaving. She was desperate to catch her breath, but there was no time. The chaos that had begun in the ravines followed on her heels. They were being picked off, one by one. The forest would offer no safety. The trees would be infested with surveillance equipment and traps. She spotted a service road, but decided to stick to the cover of the underbrush. The married couple chose the road. Just as she was about to lose sight of them, something reached out from the undergrowth and grabbed them both. Impossibly fast, In a blur of motion, the couple's bodies doubled like rag dolls pulled by a string. The man's stocking cap flew into the air with the momentum of the snare. They disappeared into the brush at the side of the road without a sound. They weren't alone in the forest. Her senses heightened, but she couldn't slow her pace. The combination of her cheap face mask and the precious cargo pressed against her chest made breathing difficult. The thick underbrush tore at her legs and caught on her filthy clothing. As she passed the area where the couple had been captured, she heard a terrible crunching sound. Her imagination ran wild. There was so little information about this area, only rumors and stories passed down from questionable sources. The only thing she was sure of was that her pursuers had technology the runners could only dream of. She could only hope that the pursuit meant they were nearing the border. Three of the younger male runners managed to catch up with her. She had noticed them before, but none of the runners were particularly interested in making friends. One young man passed her easily on the right. The other two were keeping step with her, and both carried pistols. One was still a teenager, the other perhaps his father or older brother. It was difficult to judge age with everyone wearing masks. The men wore high-tech military boots and fatigues that broke up their form. They blended in with the forest. She felt hopelessly exposed in her sun-faded civilian clothing. Suddenly, she was knocked backwards, rolling into a ball to protect the bundle at her chest. A massive four-legged creature rose from the ground, banked to her left, and snared the young boy running next to her. The boy didn't have time to scream or fire his pistol. The other men rolled to the ground and opened fire, but the bullets ricocheted off the creature's metal frame. The robot was the size of a large horse, but without head or neck, much like the heavy cargo bots she had seen in her youth. Those early robots had been noisy and clumsy. This machine moved with the grace of an antelope, deadly silent. The mechanical monster pounced on its prey and held the boy down while it excreted a thick neon orange paste that bound his flailing limbs. The boy's father leapt onto the creature's back, but before he could make contact, one of the robot's limbs caught him in midair, gracefully bringing him down to the ground next to the boy, incapacitating them both. She was reminded of an old nature show showing an emotionless tarantula immobilizing its prey as it silently dispatched them. The other man didn't stop to engage the robot and sped ahead of her. She pulled closer to his path, hoping for safety in these paltry numbers. The bundle at her chest was rubbing her ribs raw. She was slowed by the extra weight, but she couldn't let it go. She dropped her backpack instead. There was nothing in it that could help her now. The man had his pistol at the ready, but she doubted it would be of any use against the hunter robots. The forest was alive with sound now. A terrible crashing came from behind them. She only hoped whatever it was would take her companion instead of her. The trees strangled the daylight, and the shadows made crashing through the brush a dangerous enterprise. As her eyes adjusted to the darkness, a sudden blinding light cut through the trees. Her companion skidded to a stop. She drew up close to a large tree trunk to catch her breath. It was the first moment of stillness in several hours. The light shone through the underbrush, and she struggled to make sense of the brilliance. A pair of hulking, spider-legged robots scanned the brush with high-powered lighting systems. They searched a natural clearing slightly off the main road. She would have to cut deeper into the forest. Her companion bolted as the robots scanned the tree he was hiding behind. She took advantage of the distraction and took off. One robot followed her companion. The second heard her dash through the underbrush. It extended an arm that ended in a wide bore like an ancient musket and fired. A band of microscopic tracking devices studded the ground at her feet and left a dotted line of entry wounds across the back of her calf. There was no pain, but she knew she had been tagged. Luckily, the brush was impenetrable for the large robot. She careened through the forest like a rabbit, leaping ravines and clambering up slopes with a speed that amazed her. The pain that had plagued her for weeks disappeared, and she felt like her feet were no longer touching the ground. Slowly, she became aware that her extremities were beginning to numb. The tracking darts embedded in her leg had probably been dosed with a paralyzing toxin of some kind. In moments, her legs would be useless. As she finally found the edge of the forest, her knees began to buckle. The trees that had surrounded her ended as suddenly as they had begun. Nothing but a small band of drainage ditch separated the forest from a busy highway. The twilight was cut with the lights of hundreds of speeding vehicles, and it would be impossible for her to cross in her condition. To her right, she noticed a large military transport had pulled off the highway. A young, uniformed officer sat in the driver's seat, tapping on his phone. The vehicle was almost too large for civilian roads. It was low to the ground like a tank, but built for storage. The heavy back door was open and there was no movement inside. She crept in and hunted for a hiding place. She desperately needed rest. There were upright racks along the back, but she couldn't make out their function. It had to be the border police that had been pursuing her and her companions. Upon closer inspection, she found the racks were not empty. There were bodies hanging from them. Muffled cries came from the suspended bodies. The married couple were there, stuck together in a large cube of the orange adhesive. Their face masks had been removed and replaced with a strip of porous tape, allowing them to breathe but muffling their cries. Many of the captured runners were unconscious or possibly dead. The couple's terrified eyes watched as she wedged herself deep into the storage area. Her legs were on the verge of giving out, and she crumpled in a pile behind a large cabinet. Soon, more tracking robots returned from their hunt and added to the grisly collection of orange cubes. She was helpless, but the robots appeared not to notice her. She prayed that the tracking devices in her leg wouldn't register as long as they were inside the police vehicle. The robots finished their gruesome task and folded themselves into receptacles in the wall. The door closed automatically, and the vehicle came to life. An hour passed in a blur, and the transport rolled to a stop. She heard the young policeman turn off the vehicle and exit. She waited a few minutes, then carefully crept past the deactivated robots. The feeling in her legs was returning, and the pain would soon be unbearable. She tried to open the door quietly, but the mechanism knocked violently as it unlocked from the inside. As she painfully crawled out of the transport, the eyes of the captured runners pleaded with her. There was nothing she could do for them. Out in the open, she was blinded by light and her blood froze. But it was just a roadside truck stop. It was late in the evening and there were only a handful of customers. If anyone noticed her leave the vehicle, they didn't advertise it, but she felt like every eye was on her. There were only a few people and none of them were wearing masks. Years of the pandemic had taught her that people without face coverings were unhinged and possibly dangerous. But this wasn't the United States. These people were all healthy and affluent. They had nothing to fear. She made her way to the back of the building and was alone for the first time in several months. She lodged herself behind a stack of empty propane tanks and fished an ancient smartphone from her pocket. As she nervously turned it on, she could almost feel the GPS satellites pinging her position, informing the authorities that she'd crossed the border. As soon as the phone acknowledged a signal, it alerted her that she was now being charged for international roaming fees. She frantically sent a text. The moment the message had been delivered, she sprinted to an unattended car parked at the gas pumps. The back window was cracked open, and she slid the phone through before returning to her hiding place behind the store. With any luck, the car would make it a few miles before the authorities traced it and realized it was a decoy. There was nothing to do now but wait. She pulled out a pocket knife and unsuccessfully tried to dig some of the glowing trackers out of the back of her leg. After an hour, an old pickup truck pulled up to the propane tanks. The driver leaned over and opened the passenger side door without stopping the engine. Her bones felt as if they might snap as she rose to her aching feet. The driver whispered words that she couldn't understand, and when she didn't respond, he switched from French-Canadian to English. "Get in." She unraveled the soft fabric that she had wrapped in a sling to transport her precious cargo. The baby was barely a year old, tired and malnourished, but alive. With the bundle of fabric, her mother made a nest in the passenger seat and saddled the child in the center. "Keep her safe. My family will make it worth your while." The driver looked confused, and she turned to show him the tracking devices glowing deep in her calf. He cursed in French and gunned the engine. The open door slammed itself shut with the momentum of the truck tearing back onto the highway. As she watched the truck leave, she could just make out a formation of red and blue lights racing towards her over the highway. They flew over the cars and were soon lighting up the gas station like it was Christmas Day.
High Place Phenomenon by Patty Jean Pangborn. Read by Jean-Paul Garnier, with music by Luke Poole. High Place Phenomenon. I sometimes find myself thinking about opening the hatch sans suit, just aiming jetpack thrusters towards Earth, doggy paddling my way towards the atmosphere. I imagine the air bubbles forming under my skin as I absently flick away the frozen sweat from the bridge of my nose, my body burning as I use my last few seconds of consciousness to open my lungs and empty them into the stardust, eyes pried open, irises reflecting ocean and clouds. In this episode of Simultaneous Times, you heard Mysteries by Brian Thawawara with music by Luke Poole. The Runner by Dane Luscombe with music by Field Collapse. And High Place Phenomenon by Patty Jean Pangborn with music by Luke Poole. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Out now, Simultaneous Times, Volume 1, Paperback Science Fiction Anthology. Available at spacecowboybooks.com and lulu.com. Be sure to visit us at our store in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And connect with us on Instagram or Twitter. We'd love to know what you think of the program.